morning, everyone. It's so nice to see that the wind blew you this direction today. Last night it got pretty wild, but it did us a little bit of a favor. It took down a tree that needed to come down anyway. So, first of all, I'm going to share the really good news with you that the brunch that we had after church brought in a free will offering of $993 that we're happy to share with Grace Otto. So she's already in Hawaii and feeling lonesome for Mama in Minnesota, but she really appreciates all the support from the people of Mo here. So, and the Swangers are going to be gone for a couple more days. They should be back sometime on Tuesday. They're celebrating their 40th anniversary in a very beautiful spot in the St. Croix River Valley. This morning, as you came in, you maybe noticed Kate out there with sweatshirts and a list of things available. So if you'd, and they're both sporting Mole apparel today. So, so if you're interested in getting a Mole shirt or sweatshirt, talk to Kate after the service. Our Lutheran World Relief school kits will be packed this Wednesday at 5:30. And boy, is Wednesday ever a busy day. Women's Bible study at 10. Hang time for grades 4, 5, and 6 at 3:30. And that, I believe, is at Messiah. Confirmation supper at Messiah at 5:30. Confirmation class at 6. And then bells practice at 6, choir at 7, and youth group at 7. So the youth group will be at Messiah while we're practicing our songs with the choir. Friday, October 11th, end zone party and for youth, and that'll be, or maybe that's for everybody at Messiah. Let's see, confirmation is coming up on Sunday, October 27th at the 9:15 worship. So if you are a ninth grader or one of the parents, please email your student's height to Lindsay as soon as possible so she can make arrangements for the proper length for the robes. Pictures and requested information are due October 15th. Trunk or treat is coming up before we know it. So if you want to decorate your own vehicle and have treats, you're certainly welcome to do that. And if you don't really want to do that, maybe you can donate some candy. Fall Fun Drive has started and is coming along. Let's not forget that. And basket raffle season is coming along quickly too. Saturday, October 26th, if you bring your items to the church, they'll be set out and ready for Sunday morning. So ticket sales begin on Sunday morning, the 27th, same day as confirmation. Any other announcements from anyone this morning? Okay. Well, since there are no more announcements, let's begin our worship this morning with singing number 413, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
Glory to you, O God. You speak a word of power, and so you create the world. We praise you, O God, for the Spirit hovering to bring forth life, for the earth ordered from chaos, and for light and dark. We bless you, O God, for the sun to rule the day, for the moon to brighten the night, and for the shining stars. We exalt you, O God, for the seas, the lakes, and the rivers, for the land with its mountains and plains, and for trees, the plants, and their fruits. We magnify you, O God, for the fish in the sea and birds of the air, for wild animals and creatures of all kinds, and for everything that creeps upon the earth. We glorify you, O God, for humankind made in your image, for setting us on your good earth, and for providing us food to eat. We adore you, O God. Blessing and honor, wisdom and thanksgiving, power and glory be to you, our God, forever and ever. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Please pray with me the prayer of the day. Faithful God, the people of Israel continually doubted your power and turned to other gods to fulfill their needs. We too turn to other gods, seeking acceptance, power, and independence. Show us how to live humbly in you and walk in your ways. In the name of the one who humbled himself to the point of death on a cross, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's psalm is from chapter 106, verses 1 through 5 and 19 through 23. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim in the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. At Horeb, they made a calf and worshiped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt. Miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them? Today's Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into a cast idol in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth?' Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened." The word of the Lord.
Go down, Moses, way down to Egypt land, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Does that sound familiar? Sure sounds familiar to me, because I had a different excerpt about Moses' story last Sunday when I was in Gregla. And I tried real hard to pull all the Moses stuff together, and what a job. The story of Moses and the people of Israel is a long, long story, filled with many miracles, much grumbling from the chosen people, God's anger and frustration many times, Moses' frustration, 10 plagues, you name it. That's just the part of this epic story we might remember best if we ever watched Charlton Heston and, who was the other one? Pharaoh, that played Yul Brynner in Cecil B. DeMille's film, Moses. From the time Moses was brought out of the river in the reed basket his mother had put him in to float down the river, to the time that Moses died, nothing was easy for Moses. But he remained faithful to God in spite of the struggles. It really is too bad that his followers weren't as faithful. They tended to whine and complain every time things got tough. And they demanded, not just asked politely, they demanded that Moses do a better job of taking care of them. It seems they forgot all too quickly the miracles God performed to bring them out of slavery in Egypt. They forgot how powerful God is. The parting of the Red Sea to save them from being murdered by Pharaoh's army must not have been a big enough miracle. So Exodus takes us from the liberation of God's people out of slavery to Mount Sinai, where we are today, where the people hear God talking to Moses from a cloud. The people of Israel had been gathered around Mount Sinai for a month and a half after leaving Egypt. Now, when Moses went up to the mountain, after 3 days of preparation, God himself descended on the mountain and he struck a deal with the people. If they would follow his ways, he would care for them. Apparently, the people of Israel didn't think God was doing a good enough job of caring for them, nor did they ever do a good job of following God's rules. So they went from one calamity to another. Every time they disobey, Moses pleads with God to have mercy on the people, to remember his covenant with the ancestors of these people. Remember God's promise to Isaac and Sarah that they would become parents far, far beyond childbearing years? God kept that promise. And these people of Israel were their progeny, their offspring. Moses counts on God to keep that promise. But the people were making God so cranky. At Sinai, they got tired of waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain, so they demanded that Aaron, who was an elder that helped Moses, make an idol for them to worship. So even Moses' closest helpmate was not paying attention. So Aaron takes their gold jewelry that had been given to them by the Egyptians as they fled Egypt, and he makes a golden calf. And then they have a big party. So at this point in this passage, the relationship with God and his people is at its lowest point in the entire Bible. Can you even imagine how angry and disappointed God was in the corruption that he sees from his people? He's ready to destroy them all, wipe them off the face of the earth. But good old Moses talks them out of it again. And then when Moses comes down from the mountain, as we continue to read the chapter, he is just as disgusted as God was. He was so angry with them that he threw down the Ten Commandments God had just made with his own finger on stone. And as they hit the ground, the tablets broke in many pieces. The story of Moses and the chosen people is far from over at this point, because they still haven't wandered for 40 years in the desert. But that's a story for another day. And we can certainly get some important things out of the verses we read today. Have you ever made a promise that you later forgot or just plain ignored? We can see evidence of humanity reneging on promises throughout the history of the world. And we are really seeing it now. We can only hope it'll improve after the election in November, but I'm not going to hold my breath. God promised his people he would take care of them. And the people promised they would honor his laws and remain faithful. It didn't take them long to renege on that promise, as we sometimes do. And yes, we're human and we make mistakes and we don't always choose a very honorable path, but we should hit the mark once in a while, shouldn't we? As Christians, what did we promise when we had our children baptized or when we were confirmed? Might be a good idea to review those promises and maybe renew them. It also might be a good idea to look at how we lead our daily lives. Do we have any golden calves that take our time and our hearts away from God? What keeps us from being here? The thing is, we want to look like Christians, but do we want to live our faith? Church is not just a building, you know. Church is the people of God who gather together in his holy name and then live their lives accordingly, according to what they believe. And people watch us. I read something recently that left a big mark on me. We are the Bible a lot of people read. I'm going to repeat that. We are the Bible a lot of people read, because they see us coming to church. Today, as Christian nationalism is on the rise, in that sense of elitism, entitlement, and power connected to the word Christian is growing, we have to ask ourselves, is that what Christ looks like, having Christ in your heart? Or do we want something different, something more? How do we know the difference between golden calf Christianity and true Christianity? What does faithfulness look like? There are so many questions we can ask ourselves based on our message from today. What's our primary focus in our lives? We might do well to read again the Sermon on the Mount, because that's full of good advice about what God expects from us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught about prayer, justice, caring for the needy, handling religious law, fasting, judging other people, salvation. And there are a lot of themes in the Sermon on the Mount, but they can all be summed up with the word humble, or at least connected to the word humble. We don't have to be the biggest, best, and wealthiest or most powerful all the time. We are asked to act humbly and give ourselves to God's power. Faithfulness in our daily lives, something that the chosen people in today's scripture were sadly lacking as they traveled toward the Holy Land, the Promised Land. I recently read a story I think was intended to be a joke, and you can certainly laugh at it. It is kind of funny, but it also has some deep truth in it. A man was approaching an intersection, and the light turned yellow, so he glided to a stop. The woman driving behind him absolutely lost it. She honked and yelled and gave him some rude finger gestures. She yelled, she swore at him. She was having a total meltdown. All of a sudden, she hears a knock on her window, and she looks up to see a police officer motioning to her to roll down her window. So he asks her for her ID, her title, insurance, and all that, and then he tells her to get out of the car with her hands in the air. She's handcuffed, much to her shock, but she does what she's told, and she's then put in the back of the car, of his car, and transported to the police station, where she's fingerprinted, photographed, and put in a cell. Wow. Sometime later, the officer came back to her cell and apologized for her mistake. "Ma'am, all your papers checked out, so I guess you're free to go. But certainly, you can understand my confusion at the stoplight. I looked at your behavior. I saw the fish symbol on your trunk. Your follow me to Sunday school bumper stinker and honk if you love Jesus bumper stinker. And naturally, I had to assume you'd stolen the car." So, yep, it's humorous, but it reminds us we are the Bible a lot of people read. So I'm going to repeat the prayer that we had in the beginning of our bulletin. Let's pray together again. Faithful God of an unfaithful people, the people of Israel doubted your power and turned to other gods to fulfill their needs. We too turn to other gods, seeking acceptance, power, and independence, sometimes even wealth. Show us how to humbly live in you and walk in your ways, living our faith, not just professing it. In the name of the one who offered his life for all of humanity, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now let's stand as we profess together our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will receive the offering at this time. Thank you for sharing your blessings. We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and our world. You may be seated. I'm sorry. You reawaken our hearts to your mercy. We give you thanks for renewers of the church in every age. Enliven the creativity and persistence of all seeking to transform the church into a closer vision of your beloved community. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Your presence is revealed in the shade of the trees, the growth of seeds into flowers, and in the blessing of plants granting food in their right season. Thank you for the gift of your creation. Teach us to cultivate the earth with respect and reverence. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Our nations and communities are divided, O God. Teach us to listen with curiosity and mercy, even in disagreement. Teach us the humility to acknowledge our hardness of heart and make us bold in modeling cooperation for the sake of the common good. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Grant wisdom and clarity to all who are in seasons of discernment and transition. For those beginning first jobs or new educational journeys, for those who are shifting careers, and for those who are navigating changes in relationships, accompany them with your peace. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You journey with us wherever our paths may lead. We pray for those feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, depression, or physical suffering. Bring your healing light into their midst and uplift their hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Praise to you for our ancestors in faith who believed, spoke, and lived in you. Give us confidence that as Jesus was raised, so we too will be raised with all the saints into your everlasting presence. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And bless that little voice that I hear saying the prayers along with us. That's so beautiful. And now, gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious with you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Closing hymn is number 631, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. to thank Clayton and Barb for sponsoring today's radio broadcast today. Thank you very much. Now go in peace, serve the Lord, and don't forget, we are the Bible a lot of people read. Thanks be to God.